We're saying good morning to Kimberly Adams. She's broadcasting live from Cairo for Fox News Radio. And Kimberly, yesterday, another major member of the Muslim Brotherhood is arrested. What seems to be kind of the reaction of the government's response to this crisis in trying to lock up all the leaders from the Brotherhood?
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood is obviously quite demoralized at this stage by several of its leaders being rounded up and put in prison. I mean, this morning we actually had two more supporters of deposed President Mohamed Morsi arrested. One of them, a former spokesman for the Muslim Brotherhood's political arm, the Freedom and Justice Party. His name is Murad Ali. He was detained by authorities while trying to leave the country for Italy at the airport. And then another man, an Islamic cleric who was a rather fiery supporter of Morsi and spoke to several crowds, encouraging them to resist the new interim government and the military takeover. He was arrested while trying to escape into Libya. And so it's very hard for the organization to sort of make cohesive plans. And at the same time that the government is arresting these leaders, they're also calling for the Muslim Brotherhood and Morsi supporters to join the political process.
And Kimberly, a court has convened in a Cairo jail this morning to consider a petition for the release of Mubarak. What might that decision mean for Egypt in that area?
It could really change the dynamic for some people, or it could do absolutely nothing. And here's why. So the reason it could change things is because the military-backed interim government has been very emphatic about saying that this is not a return to the days of Mubarak, despite the fact that there's a state of emergency, the same that kept Mubarak in power for 30 years, despite the fact that the military is now backing the government that is running the country just as under Mubarak. They're still saying this is different. We're not going to return to the old security state that was what brought so many people to the streets during the 2011 uprising. If Mubarak is released at this stage, that could really undermine that argument. On the other hand, people here are so deeply disturbed by what's been going on that this may not even register as important to them, because the country's deeply divided. Many, many people want the Muslim Brotherhood and its supporters to be suppressed and pushed to the side. At the same time, the Muslim Brotherhood and its supporters are large in number also, and they want Morsi back in power. And so that is the big dynamic that's sucking up all the attention of Egyptians. The curfew is going on. It's a state of emergency. People have a lot of concerns on their plate right now.
Very thorough report from Kimberly Adams, live from Cairo for Fox News Radio. Kimberly, I know that there's discussions in Washington today talking about possibly cutting off U.S. aid to Egypt. We also have heard that if we would stop the flow of dollars, the Saudis say they will give them an influx of more money. I mean, just how has the discussion really impacted the people's opinion of the U.S.?
The United States is getting blamed by both sides in this conflict. The people who are supporting the deposed president say there's no way that the military could have pushed out a democratically elected president without the okay of the United States, which, of course, the United States denies. And the new interim government is, you know, basically criticizing any Western government that is not supporting its transition, saying that this is not a coup. And the United States is obviously fudged on whether or not to call it a coup. But the fact that Egypt is not getting full support of the United States in this transition has upset many Egyptians. And, you know, it's also important to keep in mind that as we talk about cutting this aid, I actually went to a press conference yesterday with the Egyptian finance minister, and I asked him what impact it would have if the United States or even the European Union cut aid to Egypt. And he sort of smiled at me and said, well, you know, we are getting $12 billion from other countries. And so if you lose some money, but you get a lot more, you know, at the end of the day, my books are okay.
Excellent report. Thank you very much. That is Kimberly Adams live from Cairo from Fox News talking about the latest volatile situation in Egypt. And again, it's amazing. No matter where we stand on an issue, we always seem to be blamed by all sides.
You know, what's really interesting, that last point that she made with the finance minister.
I mean, about all the money they're getting?
Yeah. I mean, because the U.S. floats about $1.3 billion in aid to Egypt each and every year. And if we're talking about suspending that or pulling back by whatever percentage, you know, we think, okay, that's going to make a difference. You know, everyone's calling for the U.S. to do something. Would that make a difference? So it's interesting when they say, look, we get $12 billion from other places. And guess what? Saudi Arabia said, if the U.S. cuts funding or the EU cuts funding,
we'll cover it for you.
We'll cover it.
Yeah, so
we'll make up the difference. Well, so they're not really going to be losing out on anything. It might hurt relationships between Egypt, the EU, the United States. That might get affected. But when we're just talking about dollars here, they're going to get the money somewhere.
Well, that's just it. It takes away our bargaining chip while they still have the things we want, such as that oil and obviously the Suez Canal, which is so important for moving products through. So, yeah, right in this situation, I don't see how much clout we really have unless, again, they are more worried about some of the military hardware that we would cut off.
And that's, I think, where the big impact could be, because Egypt's military is tied to us pretty heavily.
Yeah.
And if we're not going to send F-16s, we're not going to send tanks, we're not going to do that, I think that's a bigger impact than saying, ah, yeah, you know, that aid we're sending you, which you're going to get made up by another country anyway. I think you go the military route, maybe suspend that, which they've talked about.
Speaking of talking, we are talking today about this being the day that Judge Colonel Denise Lind may be finally giving the sentence for Private Manning. Andrew Cohen has been on hand following this case, and he said no matter what she does, the judge's sentence will be a message.
The judge is going to be sending a message no matter what sentence she gives Manning, and she has plenty of leeway, from the 25 years the defense says should be the maximum to the 60 years the Pentagon wants and even beyond.
Now, as far as Manning is concerned, no matter what kind of sentence he gets, he will be eligible for parole, and already his defense lawyers say, we don't care what the sentence is, we're going to appeal this.
No matter what the sentence, Manning won't have to serve all of it. He will be eligible for parole, and he'll get credit for time served. The length of the sentence also likely won't impact the appeal, which surely will follow here, as defense attorneys try to chip away at the convictions.
Now, the defense obviously wants 25 years. The prosecution, they want a lot more.
Prosecutors say the judge should punish Manning harshly with 60 years in a military prison for his crimes, and as a deterrent to others who may be thinking about leaking information, the defense says the sentence should be no more than 25 years, that the young soldier deserves leniency.
Now, military lawyer Dean Fidel, who recently retired from the military, says he would think that the judge here is going to really come down hard on Manning because they want to deter this type of conduct.
Entirely appropriate for a judge to send a message, because one of the purposes of military justice, just like the criminal law in general, is to deter others from engaging in the same kind of conduct.
And Fidel says, don't be surprised that even though Manning is the one that's getting the sentence, that this is sending a signal to both Mr. Snowden and Mr. Assange.
I strongly doubt that there'll be any reference to Mr. Snowden, but he's kind of the ghost at the banquet here. He may not be there physically, but he's palpably, I think, in the courtroom, as is Julian Assange.
So Manning was convicted on July 30th of 20 of the 22 charges
Correct.
That were brought against him. In February, he did offer to serve up to 20 years in prison
Right.
on some lesser versions of the charged offenses. That obviously didn't play out the way he wanted it to. Prosecutors were unable to prove that Manning aided the enemy, which would have been a crime punishable by life in prison. As you mentioned, defense wants 25. Manning would prefer 20.
Right.
Prosecution wants at least 60. He does face up to 90 years for the convictions. Prosecutors were adamant in asking the judge to ensure that Manning spend most of his remaining years locked up. So military prisoners, they can earn up to 120 days a year off their sentence for good behavior and job performance, but must serve at least one-third of any prison sentence before they can become eligible for parole. Manning will get credit, most likely, for about 3.5 years of pretrial confinement,
Correct.
Including 112 days for being illegally punished by harsh conditions at Quantico. He was held at Quantico for 9 months. Then he was moved to Fort Leavenworth. Under military law, the verdict and sentence must be reviewed and may be reduced by the commander of the Military District of Washington, which is currently Major General Jeffrey S. Buchanan. Besides the court-martial record, Manning's defense team can submit other pieces of information in a bid for leniency. If Buchanan approves a sentence that includes a bad conduct discharge, a dishonorable discharge, or confinement for a year or more, the case will automatically be reviewed by the Army Court of Criminal Appeals. Further appeals can still be made to the military's highest court, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, the U.S. Supreme Court. So
there's a lot of
sentencing is going to be handed down today doesn't mean this situation is going away.
The appeals are going to go on and on, but while those appeals go on, of course, he will be behind bars.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not going to be like where you can have bail and be a free man. So he will be spending time in prison, but you're right. They're going to use every venue they can through the appeal process.
Amnesty International and the Bradley Manning Support Network, they have announced an online petition asking President Barack Obama to pardon Manning.
That's not going to happen.
I would doubt that.
I don't think so.
But they made their announcement.
Mm-hmm.
There is an online petition. We'll see what that means.